Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, the 17th of August. I'm Brian Shields in for Ray Graff. Many people in the region spend their free time in the summer and early fall hiking and biking throughout the area. Well, we have two hiking and biking experts in the studio today to answer your questions and help you find the best trails and the best routes to take. Lines are wide open, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Other ways to get in touch with us electronically, we'll go into that right after the break. Your calls, your comments, much more all coming up on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551, but first some news. And welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. Well, our region boasts a number of wonderful areas for hiking, biking, and taking in nature. Today, we have two experts in the studio to help you make the most of your time in the great outdoors. Samantha Moranville is the co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties. As a photographer, she contributed to Bicycling and Mountain Bike Magazine, among other publications. Neil Woodworth is the executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. Neil knows WAMC well. His brother is our jack-of-all-trades, Woody Woodworth. Samantha and Neil, welcome back to Vox Pop. And the number to call today, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But the phones are open, 800-348-2551. Samantha and Neil, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. Why don't we start with the novice? If you're a novice, you want to go hiking, you want to go biking, what do you do first? How do you get started? How do you learn about all the equipment, the trails, the bikes, etc.? Samantha, why don't we start with you?
Well, for the novice cyclist, first of all, you have to have a bike.
Okay.
So if you don't already have one, then I think, you know, you could go into your local bike shop and you can express what your desires are, you know, what kind of biking you want to do. But I think the easiest way for most people to start out is on a designated bike path. And there are tons of them around our region. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on where you live. I happen to have done 3 rides this week with my husband, and we explored a couple great trails. One of them was the Hudson River Valley Trail. The Harlem River. We started at Amenia, New York, and it's a really gorgeous path. It's blacktop and really smooth, really flat. And we rode from Amenia to Millerton. Both are cute little towns. So, you know, you can start out on paths like that. But really just riding around your neighborhood. Most of us in the region live in really beautiful neighborhoods, and there's lots of places to go explore. For your basic safety equipment, I would say you want to start out. Main thing you want to have is always you want to have water. That's your number one thing, because, you know, when you get dehydrated, you can get fatigued. Mm-hmm. Second, you want to wear a helmet. You know, the state law in New York is anyone 13 and under is required to wear a helmet. If you're over 13, it's up to your discretion, but it's always a good idea. And cycling gloves are a good thing to have. They prevent you from getting blisters. It helps you keep a firm grip on the handlebars. You know, if you're perspiring, they don't get slippery. And heaven forbid you do fall, you know, you put your hand out. So that protects your hands in that case. Some other things for safety, you want to wear bright colors, make sure that you're visible to motorists. And generally, you know, use common courtesy, you know, just mm-hmm. be aware of other people on the road, that we're sharing the roads. And so share and share alike, follow the rules of the road.
And Neil, what about hiking? How do you get going other than moving your legs back and forth?
Well, it's what I recommend is for the first time hiker. There are many hiking clubs within the WAMC range, and the Adirondack Mountain Club that I represent has chapters in the Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh area. through the Capital District. We have three chapters here in Albany, Schenectady, Glens Falls, Saratoga, all the way up to Plattsburgh, and as far west as our Utica chapter. So New York is one of this nation's finest places to hike. We have over 3,500 miles of hiking trails in New York State, and many of them are in the WAMC listing area. What I recommend is that you join a hiking club in your area. Beside the Adirondack Mountain Club, for example, here in the Capital District, there's the Taconic Hiking Club. There are hiking clubs in the Hudson Valley, and the easiest way to learn mm-hmm. what to take with you, how to prepare for a hike, how to condition for a hike, is to learn by going with experienced trip leaders who will not only show you beautiful places to hike, but also you learn from the people you're going with. And our trip leaders, if they get somebody who's never hiked before, they go through all of that before, and they recommend a level of hiking trip that's designed for your conditioning and your level of knowledge.
800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Hiking and biking today on Vox Pop. Our guest, Samantha Moranville, co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties and a photographer, Neil Woodworth, executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. The email, voxpop@wamc.org, and the number, 800-348-2551. And let's start with Ann in Kingston. Ann?
Hello, thank you. Hi. I read this morning about a woman who was attacked while hiking by a suspected rabid coyote. What can we do to prevent or defend ourselves against a random attack like that? And how do you feel about hiking even a simple trail alone?
Yeah, that happened in Kingsbury. It happened yesterday. The woman was pretty badly injured. They're trying to find the coyote. It might be rabid. Neil, what about encounters with wildlife?
Sure. First of all, aggressive wildlife are very, very rare. I wouldn't be concerned at all about hiking alone. Generally speaking, the rule with wildlife that you might encounter on the trail is most animals like coyotes and other animals that like raccoons, if they don't flee as soon as you see them, there's probably something wrong with the animal, and it's time to back up, change direction, move away from the animal. That's the best recommendation that I can make. But I can tell you that I have hiked for four decades and never gotten into a situation where I even thought there was an animal that might be a wild animal that would bite me. Much more likely to get bitten in suburbia.
Oh, thank you. I actually did have one encounter in Black Creek Preserve, I believe it was, down in Esopus, where I got a little bit off the path. I was with my kids, and I saw a beautiful buck up there, up on the hill. So I sort of started to head up that way, and this thing came after me. Like, I could hear it. It sounded like a horse who was coming after me so fast. And I just ran with the kids, and I said, go back to the car quick, and we just ran off. So that was really random and very strange. I don't remember what time of year we were hiking then, but it wasn't long after that they actually fenced an area in because of aggressive deer.
Sometimes during rutting season, bucks will be aggressive, but usually it's not directed at people. It's directed to other male deer. But certainly, if you sense that a deer is, again, a deer that isn't afraid of you and moving away from you, better to change direction and back up.
Right. Okay, thank you very
much. Well, thank you very much for calling, Ann in Kingston. 800-348-2551. I would imagine animals, if they're not rabid, they might get a little aggressive if you're near their cubs, their babies, their litter. Is that what happens?
Well, in particular, if you see a mother bear and cubs mm-hmm. best to stay well clear of the cubs, because a mother bear can get aggressive and defensive if you approach the cubs.
800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, the number to call, 800-348-2551. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Studio KTM Red Hook, a hair salon specializing in both adults and children, and introducing the NaturaLique line of organic ammonia-free hair coloring products from Denmark, studiokTM.com. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades, shannonrosedesign.com. The Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, now featuring the Wild Walk, a nature trail across the treetops, wildcenter.org for details. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. And Colby Attorney Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community since 1939, ColbyService.com.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. The email address, voxpop@wamc.org. The guest today, Samantha Moranville, co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties and a nature photographer. She has contributed to Bicycling and Mountain Bike magazine. Neil Woodworth is the executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. Hiking and biking today, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Samantha, we talked about the hazards of hiking. Some of the hazards of biking, I imagine it's the combustion automobile, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'd say generally speaking, I don't focus on the hazards too much because I feel like that there's so much to be gained from cycling. And in all of my years of riding, I grew up in Colorado. And so as a teenager and even younger than that, I would just jump on my bike and go. And, and I'd be gone for hours. And
is it easier today with these bike lanes we see popping up all over?
Yeah. And I don't even feel like you necessarily need a bike lane. I don't think you should restrict yourself or limit yourself or feel unsafe if you have to share the road, because the reality is around here, especially in the Albany region and down where I live in the Mid-Hudson Valley, Kingston area, all of our roads are backcountry roads. First of all, they're quiet. Mm-hmm. They're extremely scenic. They're really interesting. And I find that the drivers are quite polite and courteous. I'd say 98% of the drivers out there, respect what you're doing. And
do you prefer the bike trails?
I don't really have a preference. No. There are some trails that I absolutely love, though. I had the pleasure to ride the Catskill Scenic Trail on Monday. Steve, who's my co-worker slash husband, we own the shop together. He and I went out and rode the Catskill Scenic Trail, which I can highly recommend to anyone. It's a 26-mile-long trail, roughly, and it goes from Roxbury through Stamford. That's Stamford with an M in the middle, and then it ends up, I believe, in Bloomington. So we started in Roxbury, and we rode to Stamford and then turned around and came back. And it's just so beautiful. And what's crazy is this is this extraordinary trail, and there was no one on it. We were the only two people. Maybe it's because it was a Monday? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that's really cool. Also, if you do want to go in search of great bike trails, I can recommend a few. I'm trying to pick my brain for regions outside of where I live. Outside of Lake George, actually, one of my favorite things to do whenever we go visit Lake George is we just take our bikes and we avoid the center of town and we go past all that and we park our car out in the outskirts where it's free, and we get on our bikes and we ride around the town and we check out all the neighborhoods and the houses. And then down by Million Dollar Beach across the street is a park. It's Fort something Park, but there's a bike path that starts right there, and it's like 22 miles and it's beautiful and it's not boring. It's got some hills and it's got some turns. It's really scenic. Some other great trails to ride outside of Kingston, we have the ONW Rail Trail and also the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail, which are both really interesting. The Wallkill Valley has that wonderful feature of the trestle. It's an old railway trestle that they converted into the bike path that goes right over the town of Rosendale, so it's a really spectacular view. I mentioned that trail that starts in Amenia. It goes between Amenia and Millerton, and both Amenia and Millerton are cute little towns. So when I'm planning like a bike excursion, you know, we usually try to keep something else so that it's not strictly biking. So we'll plan it around, you know, a trip to a restaurant or a cute town that we can go explore, so that it's kind of like the whole package. Or, mm-hmm. or we'll ride to a swimming hole, you know, and do a little swimming and then turn around and come back. So I find that the most enjoyable biking experiences are those that encompass more than just the bike. And it's a great way to look at neighborhoods and explore your world.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Tony in North Adams. Tony.
Hi. I just wanted to let people know there's here in North Adams, every Thursday night during the summer, there's a gathering called the Downtown Bike Around. And we gather at the St. Anthony parking lot, which is right across from the Massmoca Museum of Contemporary Art, their main parking lot, at 6:30 on Thursday nights. And we just bike around the town basically to have a little fun and raise awareness of bicycles on the road. And last few weeks, we've had like 50 plus people. And the ages range from like little kids that are 5 or 6 years old to people over there in their 70s. And we go as one group, so it's just like great. It's great fun, and people really love to see us riding around the town. So anybody who's interested is welcome to join us tonight at 6:30.
That sounds like a lot of fun. What was the name? Which town is that again?
It's in North Adams, Mass.
Oh, North Adams, Mass. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's called we just call the gathering the Downtown Bike Around.
I love it. We've been starting. There's a group called Bike Friendly Kingston out of Kingston, New York, where I live. Our bicycle shop is in Saugerties, but we're actually residents of Kingston. But the Bike Friendly Kingston group started one called the Chill Ride, and yeah. I just joined them on that one 2 weeks ago. It's on Thursday evenings, and it's the same deal. You know, you got every kind of age range, moms, kids, dads, you know, just everybody out there. And we're all just pedaling along and checking out the neighborhoods. And there's all this camaraderie, and you see things you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And it's just such a pleasant experience. I think everybody should try to get involved in that.
Yeah, it's almost like being in a parade, because people on the streets like wave to you and smile. And
yeah, I love dinging my bell at people. And,
and it's a great way for the young kids to learn, you know, like about giving traffic signals and being in the right, you know, like right part of the road, and just to mostly raise awareness of drivers that there are bicycles on the mm-hmm. road. So
right, safety in numbers.
Thank you for calling, Tony. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Justin in Clifton Park.
How's it going? I wanted to call, and I. First of all, would like to say thank you to your guests for coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a cyclist as well. I do about 200 miles a week. A quick shout out to the Mohawk Hudson Cycling Club. But I'm calling about hiking, winter hiking specifically. I do mostly solo hiking up in the 46 peaks. I'm trying to get my 46, and I've got 12 winter hikes. And I wanted to point out last year, when I came up from Avalanche Pass, I was doing the loop, and I came up and went over boundaries over to Iroquois. And I was doing Iroquois, Algonquin, and Wright. But I was heading over to Iroquois, and I don't know if it was that time of season, but I was hiking by myself during the weekday, not a lot of people around. And I fell into a total of 4 spruce traps. And I was just wondering if maybe they... your guests could point out what a spruce trap is and just make people aware, because it took me about 45 minutes to free myself from one. And it's a great experience to tell about it, but it was kind of scary. I'll listen out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Neil?
Well, a spruce trap is one of the more significant and dangerous hazards of what normally is a very safe sport, and that's winter mountaineering. A spruce trap basically is on the summits of the highest peaks in the Adirondacks. You get dwarf spruce and fir, balsam fir, and with the heavy snowfall up on the peaks, you can get a layer of snow, 1 or 2 feet, sometimes thick, over the top of these dwarf spruce. And when you get over an area like this, basically you can be walking along on the summit and go through. Basically, you fall through this 1 or 2 foot layer of snow, and then your snowshoes, because you'll have snowshoes on by then, or hopefully you will. And unfortunately, your snowshoes can get down into the branches and under the branches, and you can really get trapped because your snowshoe lattice can get caught in the branches of the spruce, and then it's very difficult to extricate yourself. And you can particularly when it's cold and you're expending an awful lot of energy, your struggle to get out of the spruce hole can really push you towards hypothermia.
Yeah, last winter, a couple of young people went hiking in the Adirondacks and got lost, I believe. The snow came up very heavy. The wind was very heavy. Fortunately, they were rescued after about 48 to 72 hours. There was some frostbite, but they made it out alive. You have to really be careful in the winter because the conditions on the base may not be what they are on top, right?
Oh, the conditions in the Adirondack high peaks, because of our latitude, our northern latitude, and the strength of the winds. I mean, you can get on top of the highest peaks in the high peaks south of Lake Placid, and you can easily get wind chills of 30, 40 below with 25, 35, 45 mile an hour winds, and then extreme temperatures. And you can get chilled and start suffering from hypothermia very, very quickly. And it's, people often do not bring enough water with them. And it's, you have to constantly hydrate yourself and eat. You know, for some reason, you don't seem to feel as hungry mm-hmm. when you're hiking, yet your body is expending thousands of calories when you're climbing a winter peak.
Plus when it's cold, you don't feel so thirsty, right? It's
right.
Not so
obvious, you don't feel as thirsty, you don't feel as hungry. And yet you can become dehydrated, and you can lose a lot of calories.
And every so often, NCON will issue a warning about avalanches, which we think about in the Alps, but it can happen in the Adirondacks.
Yes, you can get heavy snowfalls, particularly when the wind, strong winds from the north and west, push the snow off that side of the peaks and dump it down in the southerly or easterly parts of the mountain. And that much snow on bare rock can develop. Some of it can melt mm-hmm. on the slick rock, and that mass of snow will slide. We've had fatalities in recent years from people that were climbing on those slides, thinking that they were okay, and suddenly a big avalanche started.
800-348-2551. Peter in Albany. Peter.
Hi, hello all. I just wanted to add to Samantha's suggestions about the game of bikers. I'm an avid biker, both mountain and road, but especially road. Wear glasses. And you can spend hundreds of dollars on biking glasses, but at home improvement places, you can spend $10 for different shades, and they've saved me tons of times with trucks that drive down the road and kick up stones and things like that. And also, learn how to change a tire. It's not that difficult. It seems difficult in the beginning, but learn how to change a tire and carry a tire kit. So I just wanted to offer those suggestions.
All right. Thank you very much. I imagine the flat tire is no fun in the middle of nowhere, because you don't bring a spare, do you?
Oh, yeah, you should. One of the things that we recommend everybody carry is a spare inner tube, because even if you don't know how to fix it, there might be someone in your group who does, but if you don't have a tube, then, you know, you've got a problem. But it's not that difficult to do on your own. It can be a nuisance, but it's better than walking out from mm-hmm. wherever you are. Your basic kit, what you want is a spare tube that's the appropriate size for your tire. OK, Okay, so the tire is the rubber thing that goes on the outside. The inner tube is the thing that a lot of people aren't aware of. That's what actually holds the air. That's the chamber for the air, and then it's got a little valve that sticks out of the rim. And so you want to get the appropriate size for your tire. And the way to determine that is you read on the sidewall of your tire, and it'll say something like 26 by 1.95, or it'll say 700 by 35. And that's how you know what size inner tube belongs in there. So you want to carry that, and you want to carry tire levers. That allows you to get the tire off the rim so that you can replace the tube, and you want to carry a pump. So they manufacture little pumps. They're about 6 to 9 inches long. They fit right on your bike. You don't have to, they attach to the bicycle, so it's convenient to carry. And you can't really get the full compression out of there, but you can get enough air into your tire that you can ride to the next gas station or something and air up.
800-348-2551. Samantha Moranville is co-owner of Revolution Bicycles and Saugerties and a photographer. Neil Woodworth, executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club, hiking and biking today on Vox Pop at 800-348-2551. Neil, have you hit all 46?
I have. And I've done most of the winter 46. I have about five to go.
What was the hardest one?
I think the hardest one that I have done is Allen Mountain because it's a very long approach. So if the best way to do Allen Mountain, one of the more remote of the high peaks, is to ski in on the flat terrain and then switch to snowshoes when you get to the steeper sections.
What do you do with your skis once you start snowshoeing? Do you just carry them on your back?
You most packs that are suitable for have enough room for winter gear have ski slots on the side. So there may be a side pocket where you can keep your water bottle. But between there and the main section of the pack is a ski sleeve.
Okay. We just bought backcountry skis this last winter, and we thought that we were going to go out and get all gnarly. And then I realized pretty quickly that I was way out of my league, and I thought I should have brought my snowshoes.
Well, you can buy skins, which are very good quality these days. They used to make them from seal skin, but these days they're made of synthetic rubber. You can buy them from companies like L.L. Bean or REI, and it's remarkable. You can climb right up a peak like you have snowshoes on.
Oh, that's cool.
With these skins on. Hmm. So they're great. I wanted to make one point about the caller that we had with the spruce traps.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter, we strongly recommend at Adirondack Mountain Club, and we teach winter mountaineering classes, which anybody can join. That you don't hike alone. You hike in, we recommend a party of at least four in the winter, so that if you do fall down into a spruce hole, you've got some help from your fellow climbers.
Can you spot a spruce hole before you hit it? Are there warning? Does it look different as you're approaching it?
If typically in the mountains in the Northeast, you have a vegetation this area on top where it's rock. When you start to get down, and obviously if you keep track of the trail, your back trail, and you're returning, try to stay on the path that took you to the peak. But if you're going out, if you're going from the top of Algonquin, for example, to where this gentleman did, to Iroquois, you are going to be, from time to time, off the rock and onto the vegetation zone. And when you're on the vegetation zone, you try to look for the indented area where the snow is packed down, as opposed to an area that looks like it probably is vegetation that's covered with snow.
Mm. Karen, go ahead. Karen in Amherst.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to make a comment about just with bike safety. My daughter was hit by a car last year. Unfortunately, she was okay, but she was biking, and she had her helmet on. And I just know around Amherst, there's so many students and everything, people biking without helmets. And the other thing is I wish bikers would just wear brighter colors. Have some kind of bright vest or something like that. I see so many people without helmets on, and my daughter even had a concussion, even with her helmet on, being hit by the car. And so I just want to encourage people to do that. And the other thing is not to wear earbuds when you're biking.
That I thoroughly agree with, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I get it why people would want to do it, like, you know, like they're jogging or whatever, but, and I haven't done it, but anyway, and I figured you would concur, you know.
Well, it's important to have all of your awareness about you so that you can hear traffic coming up behind you, even, you know, just anybody. It's better to just have all your senses available to you to avoid a collision or any accident.
Right, because people are so much more distracted now, you know. So that's why I was thinking, you know, wear as bright colors as possible, and at night try and have as many lights as possible, just to really let people know, hey, I'm here, pay attention, you know.
Actually, these days we actually recommend that you put lights on your bicycle even during the day. And in the last year or so, there's been several products that came out on the market that are specifically designed to be particularly reflective so that they really stand out even during the day. And I can assure you these things work because I've seen them. You know, when I'm driving and I see someone way up ahead, they got that blinky light. And it does definitely help. So I would definitely recommend that.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. Hiking and biking. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Specializing in distinctive eyewear, featuring new styles for 2017, eye exams by appointment. 518-459-2638. Curtis Lumber, featuring Anderson Windows, Therma-True Doors, Owens Corning Shingles, Valspar Paints, Cabot Stains, and more at 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival, presenting Rhinebeck playwright Richard Nelson's The General from America, about Benedict Arnold's plot to betray West Point, through September 3rd, hvshakespeare.org. And watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-huntsberger.artistwebsites.com.
This is Vox Pop. Samantha Moranville is co-owner of Revolution Bicycles and Saugerties and a photographer who has contributed to Bicycling and Mountain Bike magazine. Neil Woodworth, executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. Hiking and biking today on Vox Pop. Let's go to the phones. Troy, Pamela, go ahead.
Hi, how are you folks today?
Great.
Kind of timely topic because I'm looking forward to two rides coming up. The Troy Bike Rescue folks are having their monthly Unity community ride this evening. That'll be at 5:30 in Riverfront Park in Troy, and we'll loop around town. I think Oakwood is on our route this time. And on Sunday, I'm not sure if they're still accepting reservations, but there's the Champlain Canalway ride starting up in Schuylerville, and that's always an interesting outing. These are a couple of my rare times that I'm willing to ride on the road in a group, because ordinarily I hate to do it, but I'm also very excited about the Empire Trail that is in the works, which will connect our existing bike paths much better, and particularly the link that will connect the Corning Preserve path with the new Helderberg Hudson path in Albany, so that it's easier to link up with them without having to ride in road traffic.
Yeah, lots of really exciting projects in the works, linking up these trails, and we have plenty to look forward to in the next years to come.
Thank you very much for calling, Pamela. 800-348-2551. An email from Alan in Colony. Neil, he is talking about ticks. He likes to hike, but what is the tick situation now in the North Country? We talked about bears and coyotes, but ticks can be pretty nasty, too.
Sure. And you're pretty safe if you stay on the hiking trails. In other words, the hiking trails in the Adirondacks and Catskills Ticks climb on taller grass and bushes. And so if you, for example, if you were at a place like Five Rivers outside of Del Mar, and you stay on the wood chip pass, you're going to be pretty safe from ticks. But if you walk into the tall grass, like if you're bird watching and you go off the pass, you can collect ticks pretty easily. However, the best way to arm yourself to prevent ticks is to basically wear tall socks over your long pants, and either spray with DEET, which is a common protection against biting flies, or there is something that you can get in lawn and garden shops called pyrethrin, which is deadly to ticks, and it will keep the ticks from climbing up your body because it basically stops. So you can spray. You would never spray it on your skin. You'd spray it on your socks or your pants. And I recommend wearing gaiters, which are nylon shield that goes over your socks and over your pants. And you could spray that every few weeks with pyrethrin. The only warning I have with pyrethrin is that it is dangerous for cats. So just keep it away from your house cat.
800-348-2551. Carol in Greenwich, go ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much. I have a question. My dream is to save up enough money for a recumbent bicycle. Do you have any recommendations, and do you have any opinions about recumbent bikes?
First of all, what is a recumbent bicycle?
Well, a recumbent bicycle is one that has you in a very low seated position where your feet are out in front of you.
Oh,
you've
sure.
probably seen these guys.
Yep.
I don't have a particularly strong opinion about recumbents. They are super fun to ride. I know that because they're very relaxed and comfortable.
They don't look it, but they are.
Oh, yeah, because your feet are out in front of you and you've got back support, you know, which is, you know, not, it's kind of more like sitting in a lounge chair or something, you know. Not my area of expertise, I'm sorry to say.
Thank you very much for calling 800-348-2551. From West Hurley, Helena, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, a great day for biking, folks. What are you doing there? My question is concerning safety again. I think another caller called in, I think from Amherst, about the colors that you have to be seen to be missed, whether you're walking or biking. And I see that on 28A here that a lot of the bikers are just dressed in black, and that makes me uncomfortable. And the other thing is that when we go to pass them, I sometimes wish the bikers would kind of wave us on if they see that it's the road is clear. I'd appreciate it if you pass it on to your clients. Okay?
Yeah, I think that the general rule is, you know, common courtesy. You know, we be courtesy to the drivers, and drivers are courteous to the cyclists, and we'll all get along, you know.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Cynthia in Plattekill.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hello. Hi. I have a question about the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail. I know where it starts. I don't know where it ends or how long it is. And biking it back and forth the full length?
Oh, boy. Okay. Depending on your definition of start, there's one start in Kingston, outside of Kingston, off of Route 32 by the Ulster County Sheriff. It's Rockville. Rockville Lane has the parking lot there, so you can start there. Gosh, what is the actual length? We've ridden it quite a ways, actually. We've ridden it all the way through Rosendale, through New Paltz, past Gardner. I think it ends somewhere.
It goes all the way down to Shongum, but I'm wondering the northern reaches. How far past Kingston?
Oh, okay. It pretty much ends at Kingston, at that Rockville Lane.
Oh.
Yeah, at that parking lot there,
okay.
Right by the sheriff's station.
Right. And I would think it'd be a nice, easy bike ride.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's flat, you know. Actually, do I have a second?
Sure.
I can tell you. What you should probably participate in is for this year's O Positive Festival, which is going to be the Sunday of which is Columbus Day weekend. But on the Sunday, we're doing a bike ride that's going to link up the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail with the Hurley O&W Rail Trail. And it's also going to go through the streets of Kingston and through some of the scenic roads up outside of Rosendale. So we'll be going with a big group of people, and you can meet some people and get to know the trails. That's an excellent way to get out there and get familiar with those trails.
Great. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Cynthia. 800-348-2551. Chris in New Paltz. Chris?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Neil, I have a question for you about easier trails and hikes to do with my daughter. We're from New Paltz, but she goes to Minnewaska and Mohonk every year with school, so she's not too keen on that. And last year I brought her up to North Lake. And, you know, up there you park at the lake and you walk 100 yards and you got beautiful cliff views to the east. And then you got fairly simple trails going up, and then you get the view to the west. So she just loved it. So you got a lot of bang and you didn't really have to do a lot of hiking. I was wondering if you could recommend some places.
Well, there are a great network of trails in the Catskills of all ability levels, and you have options off Route 28 if you out of Kingston as you drive west. There are a number, and today the Catskills have these great road signs that actually steer you in the direction of DEC trailheads. And there are some, there's a nice trail up Mount Tremper. There's a nice trail up Overlook, where some of these trails up fire towers are relatively short, but you get great views from the top of the fire tower. And I would recommend those. At the Adirondack Mountain Club, we have a Catskill hiking guide. There are a number of other hiking guides that you can get for the Catskills. And I think in our Catskill hiking guide, we actually rate the trails at the beginning of the sections, the geographic sections of the Catskills. And we have a special section right up front that indicates which trails are best for children.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. Kelly in Rensselaerville.
Hi. I'm calling with more of a comment than a question. And that is, obviously, I live in Rensselaerville, and I would say at least once a month I see a biker suffering the symptoms of exhaustion. And I feel that because Rensselaerville is such an easy ride from the Albany suburbs, people think they can do it in one day. And I see a lot of people who are not physically fit enough to do that kind of an uphill trip. So I'm wondering, how should a biker make a decision if a trip is something they're healthy enough to do?
Well, all right. First of all, I would always encourage everyone to, you know, you want to push yourself because you want to progress in the sport. And sometimes that means, you know, taking a little bit of a risk. And maybe you do end up riding somewhere that, you know, you wind up feeling a little exhausted. But I think that's really an individual choice, you know. I would say, yeah, it's not really such a great idea not to look before you leap. So if you think you're going to be doing a big ride, maybe do a little practice run first, you know, something a little bit shorter and see how you feel. And sometimes, you know, if you see someone in the middle of the hill, that's pretty exhausting, no matter how fresh you are. I bet they're looking less exhausted on the other side.
Well, I mean, I have literally considered getting my CPR permit because of what I see driving by my driveway on weekends.
Yeah.
So I can tell, because of where my house is, I can tell the difference between a professional cyclist in peak form and somebody who baby cycles every other weekend who is really in danger. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge concern for me because they're swerving in and out of traffic and they're obviously not making wise decisions. and I really feel it's a life-threatening situation. And, you know, as a homeowner, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't stop them on the street and say, hey, you know, call your wife and go home.
I would say to you that outdoor clubs and biking clubs usually have rides that are led by experienced leaders, and they're for all levels of experience. And I would, whether it's the Adirondack Mountain Club or whether it's the Hudson Mohawk Wheelmen, there will be opportunities for people to increase their level of endurance. One easy way to do it, if you're a beginning biker, is to go to the start of the Helderberg to Albany rail trail and park at the lot off River Road, and then bike up to Del Mar, which is a continuous climb, but it's one where you're basically going to gradually build your endurance. And then it's an easy ride back from have some ice cream at Stewart's, mm-hmm. and ride back to the Port of Albany in your car.
We've been talking about winter hiking and biking, but it can get hot and humid here in the summer. And you're halfway there and you realize, it is worse than I thought. You mm-hmm. got to be careful. When do you not bike? Do you not bike if it hits 90 or something?
Yeah. I mean, well, me personally, I really don't like to ride in the heat. I, you know, the older I get, the less I can tolerate any sort of heat. But sometimes you just get out there. So I think my biggest piece of advice on that is to eat and drink before you get hungry, before you get thirsty. You know, if you're riding along, you'd be like, okay, I've been out here for 45 minutes. I don't feel hungry or thirsty yet. Drink mm-hmm. anyway. Eat anyway. Because once you get past that, it's very difficult to recover.
Wear a hydration pack
or
a bottle of water in a regular day.
Take three times as much water as you think you need.
Jim in Vermont has a recommendation. Jim?
Hey there.
Hi.
Great show. Good info. I have a hike that I would like to recommend. It is the Taconic Crest Trail. It begins in Petersburg, New York, about 200 yards away from my house. And you can actually hike all the way to Pittsfield, Massachusetts on it if you wish to. I have not done the whole length of it, but the hike from my house to the Petersburg Pass on Route 2 is just absolutely exceptional. You get west views, you get east views, the foliage is fantastic. The trail is maintained by the Taconic Hiking Club. And it's a really, really nice day hike.
Thank you very much. Let's talk to Sarah in Rensselaerville, I believe. Sarah?
Hi, yes. This is Sarah up at the Carey Institute for Global Good. And mm-hmm. I was calling in just to share a tidbit of information. We are hosting the Rensselaerville Ride from Hill to Hollow up here this Sunday, August 20th in Rensselaerville. And we start off the day with registration at 7:30 and the rides start at 9:30. We have four fully supported rides this year for all various levels of abilities. One is 10 miles, one's 24. We have a 44-mile ride and a 64-mile ride. And those happen in Rensselaerville. We have another one going out to Bern, Westerlo, and Potter Hollow as well. So anyone that's looking for information about the Rensselaerville ride can find it at careyinstitute.org. That's C-A-R-E-Y. And we hope everyone comes out to take part in the Rensselaerville ride from Hill to Hollow this weekend on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And maybe time for one more call. Susan's got a question about bicycle etiquette and pedestrians and bicyclists. Susan in Del Mar, go ahead.
Hi. I just would like to clear up or try to understand a little better the etiquette between the pedestrians and the bicyclists on the trails. Mm. I often walk the Helderberg-Hudson Trail and am often startled by bikers that come up from behind me and yell, "On your left!" to the point where it startles me and I don't know which direction to turn. I've been told that bicyclists are to be in one lane and pedestrians in the other, but yet when you're mm-hmm. going to have something coming at you from both directions,
let's let Samantha jump in.
We're about
to run out of time, so Samantha.
So generally speaking, you want to follow the rules as you would on the sidewalk or the street. So you stay to your right and you pass on your left. So if you're walking and you hear that on your left, and I'll just make a sort of generalized apology in general. We're not trying to startle you. I think when you're on the bike, you just want to make sure that someone hears you, and so they're just trying to be courteous. So, you know, but generally all you have to do is just move off to your right. You don't have to stop. You don't have to stop what you're doing. Just keep on moving and just share the trail and just keep on rolling.
And we are just about out of time. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those we left on the line. Also, thanks to Samantha Moranville and Neil Woodworth for joining us today. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Support for WAMC comes from the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies and performance, newpaltz.edu/theater. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. The Gift Garden, Bennington, Vermont, florist and gift shop, featuring fresh flowers, arrangements, green and blossoming plants. Home decor, candles, gift baskets on Main Street. TheGiftGardenBT.com. Our engineer today, Zach Malloy. Your calls answered by Deb Malik, producer Jim Lavoulis. I'm Brian Shields, in for Ray Graff tomorrow. Food Friday, seafood. Stay tuned now for a news update.